Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Drove up from Youngstown again, did you?
I did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Boy, it's a long way from Youngstown.
It is.
Can I tell you how far of a distance it is?
No. But we do have an audience in Youngstown.
We do.
And I think they both listen on 1440 AM.
I think it might be three or four now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been making the rounds.
We hope Pastor Dave's listening.
Yeah. Yeah. The Church at Warren.
He's one of our big fans.
Yeah.
We did a show from his church once.
We did, yeah.
We should do that again sometime.
We were lucky to
Except
find
Except we wouldn't know where we were.
No, that's true.
Anyway, we've been doing a series of shows based on answering God's call using the Hebrew word hineni, which means here I am. What would you like me to do? I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you always hear people talk about how God uses people for ministry and you don't really need to be qualified. You just need to be available.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, last time we used, young Samuel as an example, one of the examples we used. And
right.
He was a young boy, hears God's voice, and he becomes the great prophet Samuel,
mm-hmm.
who does all the things in 1st and 2nd Samuel, except he didn't know it was going to be called 1st and 2nd Samuel. But anyway, he didn't have any way to know any of that. Just like Moses had no way to know what was going to happen to him when he started talking to the burning bush.
That's true.
Of how he was going to spend the next 40 years of his life.
True.
You should say the last 40 years of his life, because Moses' life is 40, 40, and 40, but that's a different lesson. So Samuel becomes a mighty prophet throughout Israel. And appoints King David and all those things because he answered the call and he said, here I am. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was called as a young boy, he hadn't been to seminary. He hadn't been to Bible school. And
No. None of that.
No. Although he was kind of hanging out with the high priest. So maybe he learned a few things.
You'd hope.
Yeah. But tonight we're going to continue with that lesson, but we're going to get into one of the most awesome passages in the whole Bible, which is Isaiah chapter 6.
Minor prophet?
No!
Oh!
No, he has his own scroll.
Oh, he's that's right.
He's a major prophet.
I've taken all your...
66 books.
That's right. I've taken all your chapters. Courses, and I can't remember that.
Did you ever take my Isaiah class?
I did.
66 chapters.
No, I know he's a major prophet.
Own scroll. I mean...
I know.
When you're a prophet and you get your own scroll,
you've
made the big time.
That's it. No, I know he's a major prophet. Yeah. I'm just joking.
His scroll is probably the second biggest, only after the Torah scroll.
Probably.
And that's because that has 5 books. But anyway, all kidding aside.
The 5 books of Moses?
He is a major prophet, and he's my favorite major prophet, as most of you know. And at the beginning of chapter 6, and we're going to get ready to read, I'll give you a chance to flip through it. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And this is where his career really takes off, so to speak. when he really hits the sort of big time prophet.
his calling, his vocation. Yeah.
Yes, because he gets called in an amazing way. It's not a burning bush. It's not God talking to Abraham or Jacob. I mean, this is like a huge vision. So,
yeah.
Stephen, why don't you read that so we can get rolling.
This is from Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. Each of them had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they hovered. One cried out to the other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it. See, he said, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am, I said, send me.
So, wow.
Wow.
So let's take the last verse first. Isaiah's response is, Hineni, here I am, send me.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do what you want me to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's really neat there where, you know, he hears the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he has no idea what this is even about.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea what the future is going to hold, that he's going to be a major prophet, that he's going to have his own scroll. He doesn't know any of that, that he's going to be involved in so many different things, that he's going to prophesy about the Messiah coming. He's going to prophesy about the Messiah's death. He's going to prophesy about Gentiles coming into the kingdom. He doesn't know anything about that yet. Mm-hmm. But he says, here I am. You know, God says, I got some stuff that needs to be done. What do you think? I'll go. Rather than, you know, most people saying, well, gee, I don't know. Sounds like you got a problem there. You better find some people to do this.
Tell me about this first before I admit, you know.
Yeah. Let me know what I'm supposed to do first.
What does this entail? He doesn't say any of that.
It's hard work being a prophet. So he gets, and the vision, I mean, is this awesome or what? I mean, he sees the Lord high on a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his garment fills the temple. He sees the seraphim with the six wings.
I was going to say, he sees the seraphim, everything, yeah.
The smoke, the whole place shakes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. And then I'm going to say something about that in a minute, but I also think it's pretty cool that he says, oh, I'm doomed, because now he's seen the glory.
He has seen the holiness of God.
Yes. And then he realizes what he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, when you encounter the holiness of God in that way, you quickly realize that you're not holy.
Yeah.
You quickly realize who the Creator is and who the creature is. And you are – it's kind of hard to put into words, but it's a very sobering reality that strikes you.
Mm-hmm.
And you understand almost instantly that the divine majesty of God,
mm-hmm,
and his creation, and, you know, part of the divine mysteries that are there.
Yeah.
That humanly, we don't really understand and comprehend to the degree that we should.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the best way I can put it.
Especially in our time. In our time, the idea of sin and being unworthy. What do you mean unworthy?
People don't even blush.
Yeah. What do you mean unworthy? I'm pretty awesome. And I'm entitled to stuff. I'm the best one. I got a trophy and everything.
That's it. And Isaiah sees, you know, at the sound of that cry, when the angels cry out one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory.
Ooh.
You know, the frame of the door shakes and the house is just filled with smoke.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where incense comes from in the church.
Yes.
This is actually where some of the songs and some of the, mm-hmm, exultance that we use in the church come from. Mm-hmm. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Adonai Sevaot.
Yes. And as
that's the Hebrew translation.
And you know, our Catholic friends will recognize, and for those of you that have never been to a Catholic Mass, we can tell you that this is part of the Mass.
Yeah.
The holy, holy, holy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say kadosh, kadosh, but that would be a nice touch.
Yeah.
But it's a very powerful part of every Hebrew worship to say the Kadosh. It's simply called the Kadosh because it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's repeated three times. That's interesting, too. because the ancient Hebrews had no way to understand Trinity, but the Kadosh is repeated three times by the angels. And it's such a powerful thing that the whole, and he sees this in the temple. He's not seeing this, you know, down at the corner bar or something.
Right.
I mean, the whole building is shaking and being filled with smoke while this is going on.
Yeah.
And Isaiah, who's already been, he's been prophesying already. He has started, because he starts at chapter one. he's already been prophesying. And he's talking about God's judgment coming against the people for their transgressions, for their violation of the laws. And he's talking about how when the law is violated, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be punishments coming. And then he's going to go into talking about messianic promises and how Messiah is going to come, how he's going to be born even. Right. You know, the virgin will be with child.
Right.
You know, the people dwelling in darkness will see a great light. And, you know, we can't do the whole book of Isaiah tonight, but this is Isaiah.
Yeah.
So he gets commissioned now in a different way than he was already. And now he's really being sent because now the time has come now for him to get this ministry going in a much more intense way.
Yeah. And I was going to say is, as he's seeing this vision, as he's seeing all this, he says, woe is me, I'm doomed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he proclaims he's a man of unclean lips living in amongst the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He knows he's seeing the holiness of God in all of its fullness.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. And your response is, I'm doomed.
Because Moses, he would certainly know that when Moses asked to see God's face, God said he couldn't.
Yes.
Because if he saw it, he would die.
Yes.
So Isaiah knows this.
And I'm pretty sure that's why he says, I'm doomed.
Right.
Because he knew Exodus.
Exactly. And then the amazing thing that happens is then one of the seraphim flies to him, takes an ember from the altar with a pair of tongs, and touches his mouth with it to purge him of his sin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. You're there, you're seeing this heavenly beatific vision of the heavenly host of the glory of God, and God sends one of his messengers with an ember to purge you of your sin.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's thinking back to Moses. Now I've seen the glory. I'm doomed.
Yeah.
I mean, he saw more glory than Moses did at this point.
So,
this really confirms his faith, encourages him in the mission he has as a prophet. And God really opens communication with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, direct communication with him. I got some stuff I need to do. Who am I going to send?
Yeah.
Well, send me.
Yeah. I mean, his response is immediate. Here I am. Send me.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can't even imagine having a vision like this.
No.
And so he's overwhelmed by this vision. As I like to say, you know, he was probably the holiest guy in Israel. And when he sees this, he just comes apart at the seams. Says, I'm doomed. You know, I've been walking around here being a prophet, but I didn't know I was going to see this.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of prophet I am, but I think I'm doomed now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is utterly taken back, as doesn't even describe it. You know.
Yeah.
It's hard to put it into words because it's so beyond our experience, but his response is immediate when God says, whom shall I send? Here I am. Send me.
Yeah.
He just doesn't say, here I am. He just doesn't say, hineni. He says, hineni, send me.
Send me.
Yeah. I'm ready to go, Lord. Because a moment ago, I thought I was toast. I thought I was, I'm sure I was going to die. Because even the, who touched the ark when it was not being moved? That wasn't
Uzzah.
Supposed to be Uzzah. Uzzah. He would have known about Uzzah, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did he touch the ark and boom, he was dead?
Well, no, Uzzah hadn't happened yet.
It hadn't happened yet.
No, I'm sorry. No, it had happened. Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. This is 200 and some years after Uzzah.
Uzzah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I was thinking of Samuel. Never mind.
Okay. Well, if he did know about it.
He knew about Uzzah. Because that was written down by now.
Yeah. So there's all this history of the holiness of God, and when somebody violated something,
mm-hmm.
God's judgment was pretty mm-hmm. pretty severe.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty you know, fairly quick. So he's willing to go and just, Lord, send me.
Send me. I'll go.
I'm happy just to still be alive. Send me, I'll go.
Yeah. Well, you know, if everybody who was called had this experience.
Oh, man.
It would be amazing.
Oh,
I mean,
geez.
This is way bigger than the burning bush. Or this is way bigger than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hearing a voice. This
yeah.
is like a heavenly vision. And it's, he's so, and I think that God uses this kind of overwhelming experience so that Isaiah's going to be fixed on that. I mean, once you've seen that, I mean, you can't think about anything else. I mean, if Isaiah
no.
goes out in the street and starts preaching and somebody says, oh, Isaiah, I'm sick of you whining. I don't want to listen to you anymore. It doesn't hurt his feelings because
yeah.
he remembers this vision.
No, he talked about what I saw.
Yeah, you know what he saw. And Jesus even mentions this. Well, he mentions this a few times, but in John 12:41, I just was looking at this verse this morning. He says, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. His with a capital H and him with a capital H. In other words, Jesus says, Isaiah saw these things and then he spoke of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Because how could you talk about anything else after you've seen that?
Yeah. And you can't speak of the glory of God without really
yeah.
experiencing it.
Yes.
I mean, you could try to.
Yeah.
But you really, I mean,
yeah.
Isaiah has this amazing vision. And his life is forever changed.
Yeah. And King Uzziah died. Uzziah was a good king. He reigned about 40 years and everybody loved him. But I think he died of leprosy because he did something bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think he tried to offer a sacrifice. Yeah. But anyway, I don't have that in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But the king is dead, but then he sees the eternal king on the throne with a capital T.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the throne that's over all the thrones, and he sees this awesome throne of glory and government and grace that all he can say is, oh, I'm doomed now that I've seen this. I have to submit to this. I mean, what choice does he have? When you see this, you don't walk away and say, well, that was nice, but you know, I got some other stuff I got to do, or I got to get to work now, or, you know, I'm going to go meet some of my friends at Starbucks so we could talk about the Indians game. I mean, whatever you're interested in is going to kind of pale in comparison
yeah.
to this. And so he says, you know, the earth is full of his glory. I mean, the temple was full of his glory. The earth is full of his glory. And it goes back to, you know, that his garment just fills the temple because the earth is his footstool. It
yeah.
tells us in so many places in the scripture. So this really gets Isaiah's mission in focus, because now he's focused on this amazing vision that he's had.
Yeah.
And he even sees these angels, you know, these seraphim, which is really cool. They got a, you know, we don't usually see angels with six wings. I mean, six wings is a little weird. Just like some of those characters you read in the book of Revelation, you know, they're full of eyes and stuff, and it's mm-hmm. a little bit weird. I mean, they're symbolic of things, but.
Yeah. But here Isaiah sees these six winged angels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. With two, they cover their faces, and with two, mm-hmm. they cover their feet.
Yes.
And with two, they hovered.
Mm-hmm. Their feet, everybody in this time period had dirty feet. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about washing feet
mm-hmm.
in the Gospels even, mm-hmm. and through the Old Testament too, because these people lived in a desert climate. It was sandy. It was always hot.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of paved roads, and they wore sandals.
Yeah.
So after you walked around for a few hours, your feet got pretty disgusting. And so this is all this thing about, you go to somebody's house, somebody washes your feet.
Right.
Or you got a little place where you got to wash your feet before you go in.
Mm-hmm.
And these angels cover, so their feet are kind of, you know, represents humility because they're dirty.
Right.
And so two wings cover their feet, and two wings that cover their eyes, because even these high-placed angels, it's difficult for them to look directly at the glory of God.
Yeah.
So they cover their face. And as you probably know, many, many observant, serious Jews, when they recite the Kadosh, will cover their eyes with their hands to imitate what the angels did.
Yeah.
Because we're not worthy to see the glory.
Right. And Isaiah, he says, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne.
Ooh.
I mean, he's describing it in a mere few words.
Yeah.
But a high and lofty throne where the train of his garment filled the temple.
Ooh.
I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah.
Just the train of his garment filled the temple.
Yeah. And if these angels have to cover their eyes when they're looking at this glory and perfection, what kind of reaction should we have?
Yeah.
This is why Isaiah says, I'm doomed.
I'm doomed.
I'm doomed. And of course, with the other wings, they fly.
Yeah.
So they're ready for service. They're ready to do what God wants them to do. They're messengers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gabriel got to do a lot of messages. And probably some of the others, you know, like I said last couple weeks ago, you know, we don't know all the angels' names because, you know, there's probably a couple of billion of them. And if they listed all their names in the Bible, it would take up a lot of room.
Yeah. And as they're praising, and as they're praising God, the Lord of hosts, the whole place shakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and they're praising God. So imagine what happens when God speaks.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know,
so they're, the angels are ready to serve. They're covering up their more humble parts and they're covering their eyes because they can't see the glory. And it's all because of the holy, 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 the Kadosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sanctus in Latin.
Right.
It's the, you know, what one writer that I was reading called it the anthem of heaven. It's the anthem of heaven. Because when you're in heaven, you hear, that's what you hear is holy, holy, holy. You have angels singing it. You have saints singing it.
Yeah.
Holy, holy, holy. That's what you're going to hear. And it's even sung in Revelation chapter 4. The holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's the angels praise and they don't get tired of doing it. They're very zealous about doing it.
Yeah.
And it's always in threes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat that it says the earth is full of your glory. Not just Israel. Not this little, you know, place where we're standing. Mm-hmm. Not just this nice temple we have here in Jerusalem. It says the whole earth is full of his glory.
Yeah.
Woo.
The whole earth.
The whole earth.
I mean, and you have to remember that the earth is God's creation. You know, everything is his creation. And he rejoices in that.
Yes.
So everything that is his. He created it out of nothing.
Yes.
You know, we have to take parts and create things.
Yeah.
God can create something just by speaking.
Yes.
Big difference.
Yeah. And here we are, you know, we may not have, I mean, I've not met anybody who's had a vision like that.
No, me neither.
it would, if we each had that vision, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we probably would be speechless. We wouldn't even have the speech to say, I'm doomed.
Yeah.
We would just be speechless because we all have unclean lips and we all have unclean hearts and we all live in places where people have unclean lips.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't live any place surrounded by holy people that never say anything bad or say anything stupid. We live in this unclean too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we say like, I'm doomed.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not doomed.
No.
Because you're going to be used. Maybe not like Isaiah. Of course, maybe you could write 66 chapters, but nobody would probably put it in a scroll. But, but I think this chapter is the ultimate in this hymn. Well, not the ultimate because we're going to do the ultimate next week, the ultimate Hineni, which actually comes from God. But we see here how Isaiah's answer to this vision is not, oh, I'm running out of here. He says, send me, I'll go.
Yeah.
Woo. That is music, isn't it?
That is music.
Whew, at least we got chapter 6 in.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would, again, at the sound of the Lord's call, respond to him with your whole heart, your whole mind, and all of your strength. Here I am, Lord. Send me. God bless everyone. Have a great week. Be glory and power forever and ever.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.